Quotes of Rabbi Tovia Singer Part 1. What we are always going to do is going to Scripture. I want to appeal to the Bible. This is not a show about Tovia. It is not a show about William. It's a show about the God of Israel. Hashem, who is the great judge, with a capital J. He judges each person based on what they knew and what they understood. We see that theme repeated throughout the Bible. A person is created in the image of God. A person therefore has a natural love for God. It's built in, we're hardwired to be aware of God. I am aware of God for He is always before me. I am not God's manager, I'm His salesman. What I mean by that, I'm not trying to be cute, what I mean by that is Jews and the prophets never engaged in this kind of conversation. Jewish people consider this arrogant to say who's going to go who, who's going to go where. He's going to go to hell, or he's going to go to heaven. In fact, when we hear, God forbid, that someone passed away, what we say is Boruch Dayan Eames, blessed is the true judge. That means that's in God's hands. We know obviously, we take very evil individuals like Bin Laden and Hitler, we know that they're where they belong, in hell. There is no national revelation in any religion where God comes to an entire people and the entire people heard the voice of God. Everyone was there. We all heard it, and it's the kind of claim you can't invent. Because I can tell you that God revealed Himself to me personally, but the moment I include you in on it and I say that God revealed Himself to me and you, you know if it isn't true, you know that I'm a liar. Because can go, I was there and nothing happened. So it's the best possible claim, it's a national revelation. There's only one people who would make such a claim. The Torah assures us that no other people would make such a claim in Deuteronomy 4:32, 33, 34. It's really a delightful chapter in Tanakh, but the national revelation is the formidable event in Jewish history to which we trace our faith. We were there as witnesses, we are a witness people. My love for this land is very unique. In fact, my love for Eretz Yisrael is completely transcendent. And it's not even what I love or admire, it's who I am. And it's not because of some nationalism or pride in being a Jew, or the Jews did that or this. It's that it's the fulfillment of a promise found in the Jewish scriptures is that you are coming home, you're coming back to Eretz Yisrael. I will gather you and I'll find from the furthest most islands. I'll bring you home, see Isaiah chapter 43, verse 5, 6, 7. So the Jews have to return back to the land of Israel. We then mean this has never happened after thousands of years that a people were turned back to their homeland. So to love Eretz Yisrael and understand that it's the dawn, the trigger, the genesis of final redemption. It's not even, if you read the text, read Ezekiel 38 and 39. It is explicitly there, explicitly there. This is not like some, like you have to read anything into it. It says everywhere, the return of the Jewish people. But, after a sizable portion of the Jews return, nations go to war with Jerusalem, and they're defeated. You're only allowed to hunt animals for the purpose of its meat or its hide. Man is never given permission. If you take a look at Genesis 9, man was never given permission to kill an animal for sport, and it's absolutely forbidden to engage in sport hunting. No religious Jew would ever engage in that kind of practice of just killing an animal as a trophy. A person who wants to trap an animal in order to slaughter it properly, of course that's fine. But not to kill it just for sport. We weren't given permission to go around killing animals for no reason. We could if an animal poses a danger, fishing is permitted, we can kill a fish in any way we wish. I just don't understand why this sort of violence is a source of pleasure, fish for food, enjoy, but to go and stab it. But maybe I shouldn't say that because people are calling me not for my own opinion, but for Jewish law. The laws of causing pain to an animal, technically, do not apply to a fish. The Christian exegesis of this text, the way this is presented in the Christian Bible is as such that if this is the case, that Psalm 110 is describing the Messiah, then Jesus can't be the Messiah. Why? Because Jesus didn't defeat any of the enemies of God, a second coming, than anybody could be. It depends, if a person is a Christian, their eternity is in very grave jeopardy. We hope they didn't have free will, because every person is judged based on their conditions that they were in, and we see this in Tanakh. It's the most dangerous, most poisonous thing possible to worship idols, and to worship Jesus is worse than worshiping a statue. Much worse. Because it's a partnership, Christians worship the true God but they worship Jesus as well. This is very, very dangerous. If you're a Christian, and you have no plans of repenting, you should shut this show off immediately, don't ever listen to me again. Don't divorce yourself from the physical. Don't go and be celibate and all this with Paul, you know, talks about loftily this should be, that I wish you could be like me, but it's better to be married than to burn. No. Nonsense. Enjoy. Have a beautiful wife. Enjoy. Have good food to eat, make sure it's kosher, make a blessing over it, but enjoy it. Raise the physical to the spiritual, just like Jacob saw in the ladder that connected earth with heaven. In Galatians 3, Paul is saying to them that the law was given by angels. By angels. That's a complete lie. Stephen is going to make the same kind of claim in the book of Acts, regurgitate. I don't believe Stephen is a real historical figure, but whatever, let's say he was. The idea that the law was given through angels, that's a lie. Totally a lie. The Torah was given directly by God. And the reason he is willing to lie is he wants to diminish the Sinaitic covenant, he wants to diminish the value of the Torah. I don't get that question all the time. You know, I don't know how long you've been listening to my show, how many videos you've watched of the program, but you notice that with virtually every question I'm asked, I not only explain why the church is wrong, but I always explain why the Torah, why Judaism is correct. Do you notice that? It's sort of very transparent what I'm doing. So this, I'm very delighted that you asked this question, because that a Christian should be an atheist, that'll be a bad idea, and one of the reasons, I'll say this and I don't think I've ever said this before. One of the reasons I'm angry at Christianity is that it produces so many atheists. And that so many former Christians who come to see through the teachings of the church as a human iteration and worse, they just leave God altogether, which is not logical. A Christian really should say if Jesus is not the Messiah, then the default baseline is Judaism. That's what normally a Christian should say. Look, I believe in Christianity, but if Jesus is not the Messiah, then nothing changed. Because in Christianity the default baseline is Judaism. 1 minute before the cross, as far as Christians are concerned, the only truth was Judaism. But as it turns out, this is not the case. That many, many Christians become, to them Christianity and God are completely interchangeable, completely interchangeable. And I observe this with my own eyes, if I didn't I wouldn't believe it. But many Christians who live in places like the United States and Australia, these are countries that have so many Christians, they are Christian-dominated countries. To them it's all conflated, it's all interchangeable. God, religion and Jesus Christ, it's all the same. So therefore if Jesus goes then God goes, well what? What are you talking about? Do you understand where I'm going here? So that's why I would convey to people who want to introduce to a Christian that there's a true God, and the proper way to follow the true God is not to simply kick out the feet of Christianity without introducing that person to the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How do you do that? By going to the prophets of Israel. Who were the prophets of Israel? They're the greatest men and women that ever lived, whose message and life are an example to us of how to guide our own. And if the world turned in such a direction, it would bring the coming of the true Moschiach quickly in our time. Thank you for that question.